You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everyone. A very warm welcome along to this special edition of the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill. And we're talking Melbourne Cup on this edition. The 2019 renewal takes place early Tuesday morning around about 4 a.m. In the UK at Flemington over a gruelling trip of 3,200 metres or 2 miles. Very much looking forward to this year's renewal and a real treat for us now because delighted to be joined on the line by legendary Australian race caller Matt Hill. Matt, a genuine privilege to speak to you. How are you?
Sam, absolute pleasure to be with you. And going well on the eve of the Cup. It's such a great occasion in Melbourne. Unfortunately, I don't think the weather gods are punters because we've had a pretty ordinary spring carnival with weather. And our derby day on Saturday was quite bleak and very wet indeed. So with a bit of rain overnight predicted for Flemington as well, it looks as though we're going to be in the soft range, not too heavy, but soft. We'll certainly start the program on that. And we're hopeful that it'll improve as the day goes on. Last year, we had an absolute deluge, and then the track improved quite quickly. But I think it's soaked in over the last 2 or 3 days. And we're in for a sunny day, about 20 degrees, but hopefully the rain stays away.
Yeah, fingers crossed. At the moment, it looks like we're going to be having a soft ground cup. Have you enjoyed the carnival so far?
Yes, it's been a great carnival. It's always really fascinating to see how the races evolve through the spring carnival. And I mean, the Melbourne Cup is one example of a race that has evolved so much, especially after Vintage Crop won the race in the early 90s. And then the horses such as Oscar Schindler and Drum Taps have come over and failed. And then all of the smarties, your way have worked out which sort of horse you need for the Melbourne Cup, and the internationals have now dominated. But there are other races in the spring that have evolved. There's a race now on our Derby Day called the Coolmore Stud Stakes, which is worth $1.5 million. But it means so much more in this part of the world. It's a stallion making race, and a horse won it on Saturday by the name of Exceedance. Winning the first prize of $1 million, but now that horse is probably worth 15 to 20 million at stud. So it's fascinating. The Japanese have dominated the majors such as Mare de Glace and the Caulfield Cup. It's a bit of a worry that the connections of Mare de Glace said that the Caulfield Cup was their B plan and the Melbourne Cup's their A plan, and Mare de Glace destroyed them at Caulfield, and Lee Grasseur was too good too. In the Cox Plate, so it's been a very much an international affair, and it's our final, it's our grand final for the racing in Australia, and it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit more colour, sort of around the race before we dive into this year's running in terms of the runners and the riders. Obviously, it's the biggest race of the year out in Australia, known internationally as the race that stops the nation. Just how accurate is that? How well received is the race in Australia?
Well, it's an event. It's the only 3 minutes of horse racing through our year that transcends horse racing. So it wouldn't matter if you're the local hairdresser or a checkout chick or the mechanic. It wouldn't matter what job you do in Melbourne. It's a public holiday in Melbourne, and around Australia, officers stop to huddle around the television to watch the Melbourne Cup, and there are sweeps that office people have, and it's just a great occasion. Many parties, and a lot of people, if they have to work around Australia, probably knock off at 12 o'clock and go to the pub anyway. So it is a great occasion. We've had the parade today in Melbourne that goes through the streets of Melbourne, and all of the jockeys and trainers involved in the Melbourne Cup go through a parade, and unfortunately there was a lot of rain around in Melbourne, but it didn't dampen the enthusiasm. And there's just so many lunches and events and functions going on in Melbourne at the moment, so it is a great occasion. And once you get to Flemington on Melbourne Cup Day, there'll be 100,000 people there, and a lot of party goers, and it's just it is a great occasion. So yeah, it is a very, very special day. And as I mentioned, it's the most important thing that it does transcend racing. The Melbourne Cup is a part of our psyche in this country, and we're only a young country, as you know. I think we're only about 230 years old, aren't we? And the Melbourne Cup's been going for 160. So it's certainly a tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose similar to the Grand National here, in the sense that it's the one day where people who wouldn't normally watch racing will have a bet, gather around and watch the race. And obviously a real opportunity to showcase the sport to a wider audience. I have to say, I was very impressed with the barrier draw for the Everest being beamed onto the side of the Sydney Opera House. That was a real spectacle, that was.
Well, that's been very controversial as well, because many people in the outer sphere, outside the bubble of racing, have basically said that the Opera House shouldn't be used for a horse race. But it was just a great publicity ploy. And I think it's very Australian, particularly in Melbourne. We just rock up to events. It wouldn't matter if you had two frogs crawling up a wall. The Melburnians will rock up to it. And the greatest example of that is a big rugby league event that takes place in Australia every year called the State of Origin, and that's between New South Wales and Queensland. And Victorians, and particularly Melburnians, have no real interest in rugby league, but every 2 years they have one of their State of Origin matches at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, and they get 100,000 to it. But watching two states that, are of no consequence to Victoria at all. So that just shows you how Melburnians just rock up to things. They love sport. It wouldn't matter what sport it was. If it's big and it's important and it's an event, they'll turn up.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned sport as a wider sort of field, because I did want to ask you on a personal note, what does the Melbourne Cup mean to you? You've obviously called some of racing's and sport's biggest events, Grand Nationals, Caulfield Cups, Cox Plates, numerous Olympic Games, some huge sporting occasions. And you've obviously been able to commentate on the Cup. Where does that rank amongst those personal highlights, particularly, as you say, as a Melbourne man yourself?
Well, for me, as a racing lover, the Melbourne Cup, I always wanted to do it. It was my dream. And I think every race caller in Australia, that's their dream, is to be able to broadcast a Melbourne Cup. And just like the guys in England who call the Grand National, that's what they wanted to do. And funnily enough, there's probably only about a group of, I'm stabbing in the dark, but, just over 20 people, probably 22 people, 23 people over the years that have called the Melbourne Cup in Australia. So, they're a rare group. And it's probably the same about in England, how many people have called an English derby. They're pretty rare when you think about it. So, and I think the isolation of race calling as well, is if the horse is four or five lengths in front and you don't know what the leader is, you can't really tap in your special comments person to help you out. You're on your own. So for that, I think calling races such as the Melbourne Cup, and I love the Grand National. I've been fascinated with the Grand National as a young man all the way through, and to have the opportunity to do that with the BBC on seven occasions has been a dream. And the Olympics is such a massive worldwide event, and probably the Australian Open's the other thing that I really enjoy doing. But yeah, definitely the Melbourne Cup was my dream. That's what I wanted to do, and it's the pinnacle for sure.
Good stuff. Let's turn our attention on to the 2019 running then. As I say, around about 4 a.m. UK time at Flemington. We're currently paying four places each way here at William Hill. Murderglass is the 6-1 favourite. Constantinople is 13-2. Finch in the betting at 9-1. Cross Counter is 11-1. Vow and Declare 11-1. Il Paradiso 14-1. Mustagir 14-1 with Raymond Tusk. Surprise Baby is 14-1. 16-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. We touched a little bit earlier on, Matt, about the fact that we're looking at a soft ground Melbourne Cup, most likely. Murderglass is the obvious starting point at 6-1. The Japanese are pretty desperate to win this race, really. And he looked to have a little bit more in the tank when he won the Caulfield Cup last time around. With lots of these in behind, he looks the one to beat on that performance.
Yeah, it's quite funny you say that, because the Caulfield Cup is the one of the old-fashioned traditional guides to the Melbourne Cup. It's run over a mile and a half around a tighter track like Caulfield. And you always look for the horse running on or that was desperately unlucky. And in this year's race, there were so many unlucky horses. About nine horses in the home straight tried to fit into one spot, and it didn't quite work. So as a result, you had eye-catching runs everywhere. And as a result, we kind of missed the obvious, which was the Japanese horse flying down the outside and was so impressive. Great turn of foot. Metaglass was just superb and has to be a chance. And if Metaglass was to win, that is the history-making story of this year's Melbourne Cup with Damien Lane in the saddle. He's going for something that no Australian jockey has ever done. No jockey's done it in Australia ever. And that's win our Grand Slam, which is the Golden Slipper in Sydney, and then the three majors in Melbourne, the Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup. So if he was able to do it, that is huge. And not many horses, some of the absolute greats have done it, have done the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double as well. So there's some real history there if Murder Glass was able to do it. And there's no reason to say why. The only thing that really will damage Murder Glass's performance on Cup Day is the rain, and it is bucketing down in Melbourne as I speak to you on the eve of the Cup. So I can't see the track improving to a good range where the Japanese horses really, they relish those conditions, but they don't like it wet at all. And I think you'll find, as if we do get rain on Cup Day, or we get further rain overnight leading into Cup Day, I think Mare de Glace's chances will diminish.
Okay, that's the favourite at 6-1 then. What about Constantinople at 13-2? Obviously a horse that's a little bit more familiar to people who watch racing in this country, was formerly trained by Aidan O'Brien. We last saw it here anyway, finishing second to the subsequent St Ledger winner, Logician, at York. This was actually sent our favourite for the Caulfield Cup, finished fourth. Is that amongst the horses that you think was unlucky in the closing stages?
Yeah, no doubt, Sam. I thought Constantinople's run was superb in the Caulfield Cup. He got absolutely barreled at about the furlong mark, and he was able to pick himself up and was the most eye-catching run in the last 200 metres. In fact, through the line, he looked like the two-miler. I know he's not bred to run 2 miles, but that didn't appear like that in the Caulfield Cup. I thought he did a terrific job for a horse that wanted longer to pick himself up like he did in the Caulfield Cup. He dead set got barreled. And I loved his run, and I just love that profile that cross-counter came out of the Great Voltager at York last year, and so does Constantinople. The only negative, I suppose, and this has been questioned over the last week or two, there's been a lot of commentary of the fact that if Constantinople's the right Melbourne Cup horse, why did Aidan O'Brien sell him to Hayes Davenig, which is the training organisation here? So that's a bit of a query. He kept Il Paradiso, but he sold Constantinople. So that's a little question mark. But overall, his profile sits perfectly, and I'd have him on top at this stage. It's one of those races, Sam, that if there are 24 runners in a normal race in the middle of May and this was the race, I don't think you'd be tipping anybody a horse in it. It's so tough, but because it's the Melbourne Cup, we're forced to give an opinion, and I think Constantinople probably tops the pops narrowly.
Okay, a quick word on Finch as well, because that's the only other one at a single figure price at 9-1. There's a horse we know a little bit more about, obviously formerly trained in France by Andre Fabre in the early part of his career.
Yes.
Ran in the Melbourne Cup last year, finishing fourth behind Cross Counter. That was his only run over 2 miles, with most of his form coming over sort of an intermediate trip. He also ran in the Caulfield Cup last time around, finishing fifth behind Murder Glass. Where do you stand on Finch this year, having another crack?
Yeah, I think Finch is a real hope. In fact, it's quite comical. I heard Lee Motta said, the legendary journalist from the Racing Post, refer to Finch as a local a couple of days ago, of course, because Finch has raced here for 12 months.
Yeah, I suppose he is now, isn't he?
It's all it takes. It's all it takes. But look, his run, in fact, we mentioned Mare de Glace and Constantinople. Well, Constantinople was running through the line and just narrowly pipped Finch on the line after Finch sat 3 and 4 wide the trip and was really tough. And, you know, has run a brave race in the Melbourne Cup 12 months ago. And I think there's a bit of a sweet spot in the weights. I think you need to be about 52 kilos to 55 kilos. And Finch sits in there with about 54 drawn well. Kieran McAvoy's won the race 3 times. Chris Waller, who trained Winks, is the trainer. Overall, I think Finch has been a little bit of a forgotten horse, actually, and must go in.
A couple more then to discuss, starting with Cross Counter at 11-1. Mm-hmm. Obviously last year's winner. We couldn't really preview the race without mentioning last year's winner. 4 horses have gone back-to-back in the Melbourne Cup, so it can be done. 57.5 kilos, I think I'm right in saying this year. That's going to be a tough ask.
That's right. Yeah, it is. And when you think about it, he's up 6.5, or at least 6 from last year. But it's not a crunching weight. It's not a weight that Maccabi Diva won her third cup with 58. So if you're a good horse, and Cross Counter clearly is, he's got to be up there. And that there's form coming out of his runs in Europe that have stood up again. So his run last year was phenomenal. And I think it sounds so silly for a defending champion, but he's almost the forgotten horse in the race. I think people are trying to get their heads around that weight of 57.5, but if you're good enough, you can do it. And I think Cross Counter at those double figures, I think for memory, you're getting about $14 for Cross Counter in Australia. So it's interesting that he's a bit shorter in your part of the world. And he's an absolute hope. And as I mentioned, I mean, with the 24 runners, there's probably 8 or 9 horses you have to give a hope to, and he's one of them.
Yeah, definitely so. Last one I wanted to mention in a little bit more detail is Vow and Declare. We talked about Finch becoming a local horse now. Constantinople, of course, now is officially trained in Australia. Vow and Declare, I suppose, is the true local horse at the top of the betting, in that he's always been trained in Australia. Second in the Caulfield Cup last time around. Steps up in trip. Do you think he's a horse that's going to get the 2 miles?
I do. I think he will. I don't know how well he'll do it, but he's got to be in the mix. He's just, unfortunately, now next to the internationals, his form seems to be so unfashionable with a really good run in the Turnbull Stakes here, and then the Caulfield Cup. His run was very good. Gets in with no weight. Craig Williams has had 16 goes at winning the Melbourne Cup and hasn't been able to do it yet. So there's a few ticks for Vow and Declare. And he's just had that perfect Australian preparation. If the race was run 20 years ago with no internationals, Vow and Declare would be the short-priced favourite and almost be declared unbeatable. But now with all the mix of the international form, I think where does Vow and Declare sit? That's the big query, I suppose. But, yeah, he's in the top 10, no doubt.
And any that we haven't mentioned just yet, Matt, that are on your mind for possibly a big run this year?
Well, if we could call it the talking horse, would be Il Paradiso.
Yep.
He's one of two of the Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds that has fit the profile of winners over the last 2 years. You know, Rekindling and Cross Counter were Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds and hadn't been seen in Australia before running in the Melbourne Cup. So I guess Il Paradiso fits that profile. And the run at York around Stradivarius DXB, I mean, that's very, very strong. And then disappointed at Doncaster. So the big question is, for Il Paradiso, was Doncaster the aim and the Melbourne Cup's an afterthought, or was this always on the radar? And look, if he can produce his best, has to be in there. And I know the internationals are certainly praising Il Paradiso's chances. So I think the one question mark is for the Australians is we haven't seen Il Paradiso. We don't actually know much about him. So that's the big question mark over here. But we're certainly keeping him, at bay. We're certainly keeping guard on Il Paradiso because he seems to be the talking horse from the internationals.
Okay. And lastly, there's been 4 100-1 winners in the race's history. Of course, Prince of Penzance most recently for Michelle Payne being a more recent example. Are there any long shots that are lurking in there at a massive price?
Well, I think long shots are tricky because there's a few at about 200, 300-1 that can't win it. But there are certainly a couple of horses in the race that shouldn't be the prices that they are.
Okay.
Steel Prince is one of those. His runs early in the campaign were really good for the Melbourne Cup. He was Melbourne Cup favourite 4 weeks ago. Now you can get 100-1. So he shouldn't be 100-1. He had a run at Geelong in the Geelong Cup and was coming off a slight setback. He was lame before a race at Caulfield and was a late withdrawal and went around at Geelong and got to about sixth, but certainly wasn't bustled to the line. And in reality, Steel Prince had qualified for the Melbourne Cup in May. So really, Geelong was just a bit of a pipe opener, a bit of a confidence booster for the Melbourne Cup. So I'd be certainly respecting Steel Prince. Formerly a European horse that was bought probably about 6-7 months ago, and we've seen a fair bit of him now in Australia, but we're claiming him as an Aussie, but he's not. I think he'd probably be the best roughie, and trying to think of the other one that has certainly pricked my interest would be Raymond Tusk, the horse that ran a bottler in the Ebor and was actually quite unlucky in it. And I think the race will pan out well, the way the Melbourne Cup's run. And if they're running on from the back, Raymond Tusk might be the best roughy to fill your top four. But as you can hear, with the Melbourne Cup, there's so many hopes. I've nearly tipped you every horse.
Well, as you say, it's one of the more difficult races of the entire year. But you've got to have a fancy. It's very similar to the to the Grand National here. What is going to be the tip then, Matt, if I had to tie you down for one?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'm going to stick with Constantinople because I just think he might be the class factor in the race. And there's certainly some negatives, but I think you can probably put negatives next to each and every horse. The one horse that we haven't mentioned that I respect is Prince of Arran, who won the Geelong Cup and ran a placing in the race last year for Charlie Fellows. And with Cross Counter having 6 kilos more, Prince of Arran's only got 1 kilo. I don't know if Prince of Arran's going better than last year, but he hasn't regressed, put it that way. So I think Prince of Arran with that weight has to be respected again. Finch has to be respected again. And I think of the Australians, I think Vow and Declare must be respected. And I think I'll just centre my thoughts around those horses.
OK, Constantinople, the main choice then at 13-2. Don't forget, we're 4 places here at William Hill on the 2019 Melbourne Cup. Matt, thank you very much for that. Genuine pleasure to speak to you. Enjoy it, and I hope the thunderstorms stay away.
Yeah, well, we've got one at the moment, and it would be such a shame on Cup Day. The fashions on the field would be really spoilt, and you know what it's like. Race days, I know it's an outdoor sport, but race days and their success very much hinge on the weather, and so hopefully we get a nice Cup Day. And they say you get 4 seasons in one day in Melbourne. Well, we've only had one bad season for the last couple of weeks, so hopefully it all comes good on the day. But no, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Sam. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.